Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, love you. Tomorrow, draft day for the NBA, round one, tipping off on the line with us right now to help us break it all down. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, how the heck you doing, man? What's going on?
Guys, it's always great to be with you, but especially on a day when there's a lot of stuff going on, so I'm looking forward to it.
Man, oh man, yeah, it's a pretty wild day already. We definitely, me and Charlie, have been batting around back and forth. The Pels trade, of course, C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second-rounder going to Washington. The Wizards send them back our way. Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick in the NBA draft this year, which will be the second round on Thursday. Just your initial thoughts on this move that went down. It's been a pretty mixed bag of thoughts about a guy that's coming to New Orleans in Jordan Poole.
And this is the NBA trade equivalent of a shoulder shrug. Because, guys, when I saw that deal go down and I saw the names going in different directions, I was kind of like, okay. I say that because I watched Jordan Poole from the time he got into the league. I was out there still in the Bay Area when the Warriors drafted him. And when I watched Jordan for the first year and a half, I didn't think he was a pro. And I didn't think he was going to make it in the NBA. He could shoot it a little bit, but his game had so many different holes. To his credit, guys, and this is what I think the Pelicans are counting on here, over the course of when the pandemic hit and the Warriors weren't in the bubble, and then they had all that time before they started playing games again, Jordan Poole lived in the gym. You talk to any of those Warriors coaches, and they'll tell you nobody worked harder than Jordan Poole in that year, really in between for them, because they didn't play any games. He was a huge part of that team that won another title. He really got things rolling, and then the incident with Draymond happened, and it soured everything for him, and the team felt the need to move him. So I think Jordan Poole has proven that he can be a solid player in the right situation. The issue, as I watch him, especially in these last couple of years with the Wizards, you see him and you're kind of like, you know, what's he doing? He's just racing down the floor, jacking up a bunch of shots. So in the right setting, I think he can still be a solid player, but I wouldn't bank on it, especially with the contract in place. And you know, if you're the Pelicans, you're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle twice here, because the Warriors saw what he could be. They moved him because the deal didn't fit. If he's comfortable in his surroundings and he's feeling good about the people around him, maybe he can get rolling again.
You know, Nick, I want to get your thoughts on Sadiq Bey as well. Someone that started his career with obviously Detroit in 2020, and he finished fourth in Rookie of the Year voting. He had a really solid career early on with Detroit, gets moved to Atlanta, and then he suffers the ACL tear in 2024, and then he's out all of last year. So he didn't even play a game with Washington. I wanted to get your thoughts on him, because I feel like that's almost an underrated piece of this whole thing, because if he comes back and is about, you know, 90% of the player that he was when he was with the Pistons, that's a bench player that the Pelicans can rely on, like behind someone like Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, as a wing player that can shoot the three, score about 15 points per game, play at least quality defense. I just want to get your thoughts on Bey, because I think that was a pretty cool piece.
Charlie, I think the point is well taken about Bay, because if you plug him in and he's healthy, you have a rotation guy that you can lean on, and you'd still like to believe, guys, that he can get better. I mean, he's not that old. He just had the type of injury that when you suffer it, everybody kind of goes, we'll see. And I guess that's, if you're the Pelicans, what you're kind of looking at right now, you're going, we'll see, but we believe that he can bounce back. And this is also where, guys, you have to trust your medical staff, because you know all those records went through every possible checkpoint. If you believe that he's going to be able to be close to that player, Charlie, like you mentioned, then great. Okay, then he's a piece. You can find some rhythm for him coming off the bench again as he makes his way back. But this is one of those coin flips. I guess if you're the Pelicans and you're down as low as they are at the moment, it's worth the risk, because if he comes back and he looks like the player he was before the injury, then everything's good. But if he's not close to that, and you move to solid vet like CJ, then yikes.
You know, I wanted to bring this up as well with Troy Weaver, who's now the new GM of the Pelicans. Like, he had the connection with both players with the Washington Wizards. He was the senior advisor there in 2024. But also in 2020, Sadiq Bey, he traded for on draft night when he was the GM of the Detroit Pistons. And I know that that lasted from 2020 through 2024. But, you know, the connection there with Weaver, I think, is a little bit interesting. And on the opposite side, you just brought up CJ McCollum. I wanted to ask you about him, because we'll talk about the NBA draft here in just a second. With the Wizards and kind of the moves that they've been making recently, going out and getting Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, and now moving and grabbing both Kelly Olynyk and CJ McCollum, two veteran pieces, they have like a young core of players with Alex Saar, who they took second overall last year, and Bilal Coulibaly, who's shown some flashes earlier, Bub Carrington early in their careers, and the number six overall pick this year, who, you know, maybe Ace Bailey slides to them. I've seen a lot of mocks that have him going sixth overall. We'll see what happens with that entire situation, because that's an entirely separate story. But whatever piece that they get there is going to be another young player that they can add to this core. Going out and getting someone like CJ McCollum, I know that he's on an expiring deal, but getting these veterans to kind of teach these young players, the young core that they kind of have building in Washington, I think is obviously a good move for them too.
Charlie, it's very clear what Washington's like whole plan is. They are going to have these older guys teach the younger guys how to play, how to produce in the league, how to be consistently what the organization wants them to be. But, you know, it's one thing to have it all line up on paper. It's a whole nother thing for everybody to stay healthy and to be on the floor together. So I give them the credit of at least trying to make the plan happen. The flaw to me where you look at all this is you just named some of those veteran guys. Are we trusting that they're going to be out there that much? You can only help so much from the locker room a lot of the time. So I see what they're doing. CJ certainly has seen a whole bunch in his time in the league, and he can help. But the only way it really works is if you are drafting the right pieces, the older players are helping those younger players develop, and both young and old can be on the floor together at times to kind of find their way. If that doesn't happen, you know, the Wizards are just going to kind of languish in the middle of nowhere in the league. And I'd also add real quickly, you mentioned Troy Weaver. That is a guy who knows a lot about the players that he keeps pulling into the fold there. So it makes sense why those moves are the way they are. But again, there are so many different variables in building an NBA team. First and foremost, you got to hope that health-wise, everybody stays on the floor and can continue to build up the motion that it takes to get rolling forward instead of whatever direction the Pelicans have been going lately.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Nick, looking at another big trade today happening. Man, oh man, the Boston Celtics sure are selling. Drew Holiday the other day and now today sending Kristaps Porzingis to the Atlanta Hawks.
Steve, when you look at what the Celtics are doing, I give them credit for this because I think we all agree that with Tatum going down,
yeah,
you're looking at that roster going, well, they're not good enough. This is not enough for them to get back into whatever that top tier of the East is. I'm not sure the moves that they've made are going to help them immediately, and it's very clear that the turnover is in place. But I'll give Brad Stevens this. As far as trusting executives in the last 5-6 years to make moves to put you on a course to go towards another title, I would put Stevens just behind Sam Presti at this point. And Presti, obviously, he did it once with KD and Harden and Westbrook, and he just did it all over again and got him to the mountaintop the other night because the Thunder finally won, and he's got all these draft picks. The guy is unbelievable at what he does. But Brad Stevens knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows the team that he wants to build, and he knows that everything changed with that one injury. So instead of just kind of waiting and seeing what happens with Tatum and trying to keep everything in place, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he knows that he's got to start moving pieces now. He's doing it, and he's not waiting for some other kind of shoe to drop.
You know, Nick, and once again, I promise we'll get to the draft because I think the Celtics are really fascinating. You know, the one thing with moving off of those two players that are now below the second apron of the salary cap, they could still potentially make another move. And I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Jaylen Brown, you know, the former finals MVP that won the championship with them just a couple of years back. And he's still a young piece of this roster. I mean, are the Celtics really going to entertain potentially moving on from him and just blowing everything up and kind of taking maybe a gap year with Jason Tatum's Achilles injury? What do you think about that?
Charlie, I would. If I were the Celtics, that's exactly the move that I would make, because I think Jaylen Brown is a hell of a player, but at that contract level after he signed that extension, is he the type of player for that level of money who's going to give you exactly what you need night after night after night? I know he had a good postseason run and was awesome at times when they won the title a year ago, and you thought, all right, well, maybe he's coming into his own, but I don't know if he can be that type of number one guy, especially with Tatum out. And if you're unsure about that, you'd rather move him sooner than later and let the rest of the league figure out that he may not be, again, to that point. So if you're the Celtics and you're acknowledging, all right, we're going to make these trades and these pieces are going in different directions, and you're starting to look around and go, it may not be our year this year. If you're Brad Stevens, that is exactly the move that I would make. I would let Tatum heal up for the year, rehab, come back, and then build fresh around him a year from now. Boston becomes very, very fascinating because of all the different layers in play and all the different veterans that they've had on the roster. But as far as moving forward in the future, that is absolutely the move in my mind.
Now, Nick, looking at the NBA draft tomorrow, round one The Pelicans have two picks, 7 and 23 now, and I've been seeing a lot of, you know, the rumors out there that the Pels could be going big. We have either with the 7 or the 23 pick. Just curious your thoughts on who'd be a good fit, you think, for New Orleans if they do decide to take that number 5, that big man.
If it's a big man from Duke, Steve, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Malawak, I think, can fill that role if you're strictly drafting for need. The biggest question mark or intrigue for me with New Orleans is there's a lot of, I'd say, hype around Ace Bailey and what kind of player he may be. I'm still not sold that he's going to be the kind of difference maker that people might have thought he was coming into last year. But when you have a team that has all these question marks and all the holes that New Orleans does, sometimes it makes sense to just draft based on the highest possible talent level that you got. And there are people that go both directions on Bailey, but the talent still appears to be there. It's trying to figure out who could potentially down the line become one of those players that you can build around. So is he that guy? Who knows? And anybody who tells you they know, guys, as I've learned with the draft, they're lying to you after pick one or two, because Cooper Flagg is going to be a superstar and Dylan Harper is a really solid player. After that, it's kind of like, who knows? But if you're the Pelicans, I wouldn't draft for need, because you have so many different holes on this roster. Whoever you think is the best talent, take the swing and hope for the best.
And I think they can afford to kind of be risky with the 7th overall pick. You brought up Malawach, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on him, because, you know, you see this guy, and he's a 7'2" kid from South Sudan with a 7'7" wingspan. He's got really long legs. He's got a smaller torso in comparison for at least a 7'2" guy. But all the talent in the world is a potential, like, NBA-ready, rim-running, rim-protecting big. But then you hear, like, some reports from his workouts in the pre-draft process that he's showing a little bit more of an expanded offensive game that he didn't really show at Duke. I mean, this was a guy that was a great screener, kind of had the pick and roll, like diving to the rim, getting lobs, throwing down dunks. He had like the second most dunks in NCAA this past year. But if he has a little bit more of an expanded offensive game, I mean, the ceiling for this kid could be really, really fascinating. And if he's there at pick 7, similar with Ace Bailey, where you're kind of swinging for ceiling, I mean, who knows what could be potentially be there with Kamen Malawach, who's 18 years old as well.
Charlie, I'm with you, and when you watched Duke, what you saw was a very big man who could get up and down the floor, but as you mentioned, what you're hearing now is, all right, there's a little bit more to his game, and that's where we started the conversation on, you've got to trust the staff in play as far as the trade goes with Bay. You trust your doctors to look at everything and hope that everything kind of turns out the way you want. This is where you've really got to trust your scouts and your coaches, because if you believe that he can take Malawach, take that next step and become more of an offensive, I don't want to say force, but somebody that you aren't going to lose much with when you have him on the floor, well, then, yeah, why not? I mean, the dude is huge. He can come in right away and get you minutes, and he can grow into his body being so young still, on top of the fact that if there is some offensive game there, you allow yourself another weapon down low that team clearly hasn't had in a little bit. So when you're trying to figure out which direction teams go, this is where you've got to trust that the scouts that have been on these guys and watching them all year long, they know exactly what to do, and they believe in certain guys. And whoever New Orleans lands with tomorrow night, you can rest assured that they've been really having those conversations in the draft room going, all right, this is the guy. We believe there's more within. And usually at pick 7, you're going to get a really talented prospect. But, Charlie, I'd add this, no matter who it is it Bailey, is it the big man from Duke, is it somebody else, This is where your coaching staff comes into play in a major way, because wherever these guys are at tomorrow, they get drafted. You have to trust that the development can happen day to day. There's so many questions about that coaching staff in New Orleans, but this is where they're really going to be able to show they can make a difference in a young man's life.
For you, Nick, is there a prospect in this draft that you really like? You mentioned, I know, Cooper Flagg, number one, probably Dylan Harper, two. After that, it is a big crapshoot of we know in this in the NBA drafts. But it's just curious, is there a prospect coming into this year that maybe you could see worthy of trading up for?
Steve, I love Cooper Flagg. You know, that's a real – it's a real stretch, because I think he's not only that good, but guys, I think he's a flat out superstar, and I think he's going to show that early on. The guy that caught my eye in the last couple months of the college regular season, and I think his game can translate quickly to the pros, is Connor Knipple. I say that because the kid can shoot the hell out of the ball. If you can do that consistently in the league, you are going to find minutes somewhere instantly, and you've got to believe, same thing, that he can grow into what he already showed in a year in Durham. So is he some kind of be-all, end-all star? No, I think the only surefire guy in that regard is Cooper Flagg. But as I watched the college game last year and you start to talk to people around the league now, I think that's a guy that's going to end up going higher than we thought before. And I think that's a guy who can come in next year and really help somebody out, because if you can consistently shoot it from the outside like he can, as we know, the rest of the floor opens up for everybody else.
I'm seeing a lot of projections that have Knipple going forward to Charlotte. And you know, the criticisms on him, I don't even think they're valid. He's got such a high floor at the NBA level. And you just look at, you know, people saying that he's not athletic. I'm just like, what are we really watching here? He's got great size. He moves really well. He's a good off-the-ball player. He's a good connective piece, which is the word that keeps coming up every time we talk about Connor Knipple. But I don't know if he'll be there for the Pelicans, unfortunately, at seven. I think he's going to be gone by then. My last question for you, Nick, is the two guards that I keep seeing kind of mocked around the range of the Pelicans. Jeremiah Fierce from Oklahoma, the point guard, who a smaller point guard, we always kind of get a little bit worried about that part of the thing. And he doesn't play great defense, but he's a very, I guess the quote would be, dynamic piece with the ball in his hands. And he's a good shot creator. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's good with the ball in his hands, as I mentioned. And then also Trey Johnson from Texas, the freshman shooting guard that, I mean, you talk about an NBA ready shot maker. The guy can get buckets. And just want to get your thoughts on those two players, because I've seen them projected to the Pelicans at seven, a couple different sites as well.
Charlie, as you were describing fears there and some of the highlights of his game and some of the limitations, I was thinking you were talking about Jordan Poole again, aside from the 3-point shooting. And so then I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if that fit would be there. Again, this is where Joe Dumars, you've watched this stuff all year long. You've watched these games. You've got the reports. You just have to have trust there. With Fears, if you can't shoot from the outside, I think you can grow into it to a point. But if you're not having success this early, it's a little bit of a red flag, especially in the era that we're in the league where everybody can shoot from the outside. With Trey Johnson, he's a little bit bigger of a guard. I think he can really play. But again, as I watched his game off and on throughout the season, I was never looking at him going, all right, this is a guy that I'm really, really sure about. And that, as always, guys, is the problem with the draft, because all these prospects have so much promise, but if you're not willing to put in the work day after day in the league, I mean, look no further than Zion. I mean, you guys live it every day during the season. If you're not going to put in the work and your body can't stay right, well, you're going to have real issues. So anytime the draft comes up, I just think to myself, there's a reason why the teams that stay near the top do. It's because the trust in their scouts is there. They've put in the legwork all year, and somebody's going to pop out there and get themselves a really solid pick somewhere. If you're New Orleans, and you believe that Johnson is the guy, then just hope he's there, because, Charlie, summing it all up, I'm not sure if he will be, given the way things are kind of filtering out, but there is a lot of intrigue in this draft, I think, after picks three, maybe four with Knipple. Then it's wide open and it seems like anything can happen.
Nick, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much. Hearing you talk hoops is always a pleasure. Thank you.
Guys, I love being with you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
For sure. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first, everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.